This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices, united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
Yo, welcome everybody to another edition of the Red Bastard Podcast. I'm Jeff Ketchum, the Red Bastard, coming to you from Austin, Texas, home of lots of bastards. It feels good to be doing a podcast a week removed from Liverpool having finished its football season. One of the greatest champions, if not the greatest champion in the history of the Premier League. And I got to be honest, like, the season ends, and I just need a break for the last week or so. I have been tempted to do podcasts, but I don't know. It was almost as if this peaceful calm overtook my body, and I just kind of basked in the glory of the last week or so. It wasn't until the weekend that I was like, okay, now I'm kind of back in the vibe of actually recording something, putting my voice out there, giving opinions, talking about transfers and stuff like that. And yet, the last week, I just have wanted to soak everything up. I've wanted to watch as many videos as I can. I've wanted to watch as many celebrations and read as many articles and listen to as many podcasts. So for a week, I decided that, you know what? With all due respect to the like 500 to 1,000 of you that sometimes listen to these podcasts, like I need to do me for a little bit. And now I'm still doing me. I'm back to doing the podcast. And now it's funny how quickly the page turns. I've already hit refresh on my Liverpool FC Twitter stream. By the way, if you want to subscribe to my Liverpool list, the thing that I live on, just go to my Twitter page at GK Ketch and go to my lists. And because I don't follow everybody, I create lists so that I can keep my follower count somewhat under control. So I have every person that matters to me on the Liverpool front on my Liverpool list. You can just subscribe to that and then you could keep that open and then just hit refresh. And literally, it's like being plugged into the Matrix at all times. You never miss anything. You always get everything first. It is the transfer season. It's silly season. And it is one of the things, as an American podcaster, that I feel like I can give a little bit of a unique insight into because of what it is that I do in my daily job. For those of you who don't really know what the Red Bastard does on a daily basis, I am a sports reporter who pays his bills by covering University of Texas football. Now, if you live in the U.S., you know what that is. If you live in Thailand and you're listening to this podcast, and I know what you're thinking, Ketch doesn't have an audience in Thailand, you would be wrong. I have loyal Thailand listeners. The Thais love me. You might not know what college football is. You may not pay a lot of attention to it. But what it is American football played by college football players. It is a billion-dollar industry. It is the thing that I've built my career around. And the inside of that, what I've really built my career around is the cottage industry of high school football recruiting. It is, you know, the transfer season in European football, soccer, is still evolving as an industry, as this cottage industry that people get obsessed about. And I have noticed it as a Liverpool fan over the course of the last, I think I've really started to notice it coming in and following the club upon the sell of Luis Suarez, right? When that happens and there's money to spend, and I remember really getting into Liverpool football right about the time that was my first full season, 14-15. And it was interesting to watch people lose their minds over the purchase of players. It is free agency. The transferring of players from one team to another, it is so different from what we see in American sports in terms of the way the NFL builds its teams, in the way that the NBA and Major League Baseball and even soccer teams here, right? Like the MLS has a draft. American sports have drafts. That's the way that you add young talent in American sports. There's a draft every year, and everybody takes turns picking young players. And that's not the way it happens in international football. And that a guy can sign a five-year contract and then a year later be like, I'm putting in a transfer request and I'm going to leave teams. That doesn't happen. There's an operation as a sport that's different than everything else that I know. But the one thing that's really, really similar is the parallels between transfer season in football and college football recruiting. I've made my career out of tracking down what 17 and 18 year old kids are going to do when they make their college football decisions. And of all the content that anyone can do in this industry that I work in, nothing beats recruiting content. Nothing brings more interest. Perhaps the only thing in recent years that will rival what a recruiting drama will produce is this new fascination in college football with an actual transfer portal, which is different than what we see with transfers associated with Liverpool. But I understand the addiction. I work in an industry where once upon a time, people used to pay $5 a minute. When I first started working in this industry 20, 25 years ago, there were people who were making $500,000 to $750,000 a year on 900 phone numbers where people would call in and get the latest news on a 17-year-old prospect. If there was a 900 number still in existence, do they still do those? Do they still make 900 numbers in general, or are they all sex-related? I don't know. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've seen an advertisement for a 900 number at 2 a.m. on like a local channel. The girls are just waiting for you. 1-800, call me now. That's eight numbers. So I guess that wouldn't be an actual number. And if it was, that would have made me look really bad. I bet if you type in 1-900, call me now, and you just don't add the W and call me no, I bet it leads to something. But I understand that industry, and I know what it does. I hear a lot of Liverpool fans talking about this team just finished with 99 points. It comes on the heels of 97 points. Why can't we bask in the glory of being among the greatest that have ever played the game and just be happy? Why do we have to get mad at FSG? Why does FSG out have to become a thing a week after the season ends? Well, we're watching other people spend money. We're watching other people do this thing that equates to high school football recruiting, and Liverpool isn't really participating in it. And it's like watching, it's like going to a rave and everybody else gets to take ecstasy but you. Now, normally, maybe you wouldn't even be into ecstasy. Like, all things being equal, I'm not taking any X like over the weekend. But if you went to a rave and everybody else was taking ecstasy, everybody, or drinking, or whatever, and people are touching each other and having a good time, and I don't know, things are happening, right? Like, things that happen at raves when people are intoxicated, and you are there stone cold sober. Now, maybe you wouldn't want to take the X. Maybe the E's too much. Maybe you have a drink. Maybe you take something, do something to get in the party. What we're watching right now is a rave that everybody else is participating in. And like, you know, you're sitting back there thinking, you know, it'd be fun if I could do that. If I could dance, if I could party, if I could touch someone and like they touch me and it'd just be weirdly fun. And like, everybody wants to just be involved in the rave. Is a really interesting metaphor that I've gone for here. I don't know that it completely works. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. Those of you that have been to raves understand. Those of you that have maybe never quite done that are wondering exactly what I did in my youth, and that's fair. But I understand the psychology of the industry and what it does. And I think the thing that my steady hand, so much history in this situation is to remind everybody that it is a drug. The transfer season, the silly season, is a drug. And it is easy to overdose on it. It is easy to take too much of it. It is easy to get addicted to. And I think that the one thing that I would tell everybody is there have been very few occasions. In the 25 years that I've been doing high school football recruiting, you know, the 30,000 foot view of that is that it's not important to ever just get any one guy. It's rare. Like, I can count on one hand the number of guys that would change the direction of history, either because Texas signed them or didn't sign them. It's the totality. It is the overall process that matters. Are you in college football? It's how many 5 stars and 4 stars can you accumulate on a yearly basis so that after 4 or 5 years, you've stacked them on top of each other. I think you have to look at international football at the club level at exactly the same way. What Liverpool has done is recruited. Now, they haven't spent money in the last year or so, but it's because they did spend a lot of money in the years before. They did go out, and everybody mentions Virgil van Dijk and Alisson because they came together after the Coutinho money, and one was the most expensive defender that had ever been purchased, and the other was, for about 15 minutes, the most expensive goalkeeper. And now, you know, they seem to be the purchases that everybody points towards. And everybody likes to talk about net spend because it's a cool number that makes what Liverpool has accomplished look even better because you can compare it to others. And it's so one-sided in the way that it looks like a good number for Liverpool. But Liverpool have spent money. They did spend money on Naby Keita. They did spend money on Mohamed Salah. Once upon a time, they did spend money on Sadio Mane. They are not spending money on, you know, play, they're not spending money at the rate that the Manchester clubs are, but they're better than the Manchester clubs. Their first 11 is better than both of those clubs. And what's really interesting about what happens in international football, because of Real Madrid, because of Barcelona, because of Man City, maybe even a Bayern Munich, maybe even like a PSG, there are a, and I don't even know that I would include, maybe you would include like a PSG with a Man City. Man City's roster just feels different, 1 through 20, than most teams, although I would put Barcelona and Real Madrid in there. But what happens is you watch the way those teams operate, and you just start to live in fantasy football land. We see this all the time. Liverpool have a starting 11. You better be world fucking class to get into this lineup. One of the reasons why I'm so interested in Thiago Alcântara is that he is world class. He's borderline world class, if not world class. I can make a case. He improves the first 11. But when we talk about attacking pieces, let's look at Timo Werner. And there's a world where we could talk about getting all, if Timo Werner were a Liverpool football player, there's a world in which we would talk about trying to get our front three on the pitch with him at the same time. But if Klopp were sticking with his traditional 4-3-3, or if he was going with a 4-2-3-1 or something like that, it's not automatic that Timo Werner gets in this side. He's not replacing Sadio Mane. They're not taking Bobby Firmino off the pitch. He's not taking Mo Salah off the pitch. He's not good enough yet to get in this lineup. And when we look across Europe, we look across the entire world, and we talk about players that can improve the starting 11, who are we talking about? There's no goalkeeper. There's no goalkeeper. I suppose we can all have a conversation about whether or not Jan Oblak is better than Alisson. But if you have one, like Atletico, they don't need Alisson. They got Jan Oblak. We don't need Jan Oblak because we've got Alisson. But, you know, like outside of that conversation, there ain't a goalkeeper that can improve the roster. When we look at the back line, Virgil van Dijk, best defender in the world. Okay, that spot's taken care of. Trent Alexander-Arnold, best right back in the world. Okay. That spot's taken care of. Andy Rabo, best left back in the world, if not top five. Like, let's live in a world where we, because we're Liverpool fans, and we say things like, three of our back four are the best players in the world at their position. Look, no, I have not seen anybody better than Virgil van Dijk, and I have not seen anybody better than Trent Alexander-Arnold. But for the sake of conversation, if we were talking about Andy Robertson and we said, he's the fifth best in the world, who are you replacing him with? Who? Jordy, what are you doing? Are you going out and you get Marcelo? You getting old ass Marcelo? Are you going to Bayern Munich and try? No, like Andy Rabo might not be the best in the world. I don't know how you upgrade him because the margins are so thin. It's what we're talking about in the front three. Who would you buy that would bench one of our front three players? The answer is, well, if you had Lewandowski, maybe you'd have to take Bobby off the pitch if you had Robert Lewandowski, because Lewandowski's good for like 40 goals a year. And sometimes you have to give up a little bit of the artistic way in which you free up your wingman because a guy will score 40. Anybody else? I mean, we could talk about the best players in the Premier League at the strike. Is Harry Kane pushing anybody out of the Liverpool front three? I don't see it. Not the way we play. Harry Kane, I was watching a deal on ESPN FC yesterday, their daily show. And they had one of their guys, one of their guys did a top five strikers in Europe poll. And Bobby wasn't in the top five. It was Lewandowski. It was Benzema. It was Kane. I'm trying to remember who the hell the other Premier League striker was. Oh, it was Aubameyang, right? Well, is Aubameyang pushing any of our guys out of the lineup? I don't think so. If Aubameyang was ranked on this list as in form right now, the second best striker in the world, second best number nine in the world, he's not getting into our team as a starter. The one area that you could look at is the midfield. But if we talk about Fabinho, who's better than him in the holding midfield spot? Nobody's taking his job, not unless Liverpool wanted to move him. Okay, well, Jordan Henderson, the Premier League Player of the Year? Who's replacing your captain and the reigning current Premier League Player of the Year? Who's that, huh? Now, there's one spot in the midfield. Gini Wijnaldum likely holds it down the majority of the time. Naby Keita knocking on that door as well. Liverpool have James Milner. And there's a host of guys that are constantly trying to crack that third spot and will fill in a number two role if Fabinho's hurt and Hendo or if somebody's got to play that whole, like, you know, they'll rotate some positions around. But generally speaking, Hendo and Fabinho get their names written on the team sheet really quickly. I think we're in a position where Gini may be the third guy and maybe the second guy. He's borderline world class. Who's taking his job? Thiago Alcantara is a guy who could take his job. He's a guy that, as good as Gini is, all things being equal, if you were to say, who's better? There's not a long list of names, I think, where you would say that Thiago Alcantara gets to be a name that's on that list. And so, that's why I'm interested in that signing. And that's why when you – and here's the thing about Jadon Sancho. And, I want Liverpool to be in on Sancho, especially because we know that it looks like United are going to get Sancho with kind of a sweetheart deal. They're going to pay a lot of money in total. They'll pay like 120, 140, but it looks like 80 of it might be up front. And they might space out 60 on the back end, but they just somehow got Alexis Sanchez off their books, $60 million over the next 2 years. They don't have to pay Alexis Sanchez. They just get to kick that money towards the Sancho fund, and it's like they get Sancho on discount. And I really wish Liverpool were in a position where they could say, we're going to do a deal like that for the future and go get Jadon Sancho. But do you know something about Jadon Sancho? Unless Liverpool changes its formation, Jadon Sancho isn't getting on the field at Liverpool right now. Who you taking off? I suppose I could live in a world where you eventually say to yourself, eventually, well, we'll move Salah to the middle, play Sancho on the wing, and then your front three is Salah, Mane, and Sancho. But going into this season, they're not taking Bobby Firmino off the pitch for a guy that hasn't even bedded into the team for more than a couple of weeks. Even Jadon Sancho isn't automatically in this Liverpool team. That's how good this Liverpool team is. Kai Havertz, as much as we would talk about him in the same vein as a Jadon Sancho from an upside standpoint, we just watched Naby Keita, who was thought to be one of the best players in Germany, struggle to consistently get into this Liverpool side, not just because he's struggled with injuries, but it's also taken some time for adjustment for him. We saw it with Fabinho as well. It takes a while to adjust. This isn't a team that you just walk in and play for. And what's different about European soccer versus the sports that I cover in America is that it's kind of crazy to me that a Timo Werner would have wanted to come to Liverpool. There's no automatic – like, only in European football – do we see players go to a Man City, go to a Real Madrid, go to a Barcelona, in theory, go to a Liverpool, and they accept a role as a backup because they think they might be able to win a job? I mean, imagine spending $50 million on Timo Werner. He comes in, and he has to win a job. That is not how it works in American sports. In free agency in America, when a player changes teams, he changes teams because they've convinced him, you are going to be a foundational piece for what we're doing. In fact, the only thing I can even think of in terms of American sports where we've seen something that kind of consistently happens, like I look at what United is doing, and they're going to sign Jadon Sancho. Who's coming off the pitch for them? Is Mason Greenwood not playing anymore? Is Marcus – like, they have a front three of Anthony Martial, Marcus Rashford, and Mason Greenwood. Now, I'm not saying – like, Jadon Sancho may be better than all of them, but who's coming off the pitch, and how much of an improvement from Sancho, from the guy that you already had on, are you getting? I don't know how to answer that question. That it's even a possibility – doesn't make sense. The only thing that I can compare it to is when Kevin Durant left Oklahoma City and went to Golden State. You had a team that was already a championship team. You had a team that already had good players, and they just went and got a better player. But Kevin Durant didn't come in and sit the bench. Nobody said, well, you know, Golden State's starting lineup did make the finals, and you know, they do have rings. You'll have to earn it. No. Oh, Kevin Durant showed up at Golden State. He was their best player, and like everything changed, and they fitted around him. And maybe United does that with Sancho, but it wouldn't happen at Liverpool. It's what is making what Liverpool is doing right now tricky. Because Jurgen Klopp clearly wanted Timo Werner. But he wanted Timo Werner when he thought two of his players were going to be gone for AFCON. Right? Liverpool needed Timo Werner because they might have gone 2 months in the upcoming season where both Sadio Mane and Mohamed Salah were out because they were in Africa playing in the African Cup of Nations. The African Cup of Nations isn't being played until next summer, if it even gets played, which means you've got your team all season long, which means adding Timo Werner this season, I think would have been a problem that I don't know that Klopp would have wanted. They want a repeat. They want to win a championship. They want to win Europe again. They want to become the first team in the history of – if I heard Neil Atkinson write on the Anfield Wrap and listening to the Anfield Wrap this week, as a matter of fact, on my walk before recording this podcast, no team in any of the big three, in any of the major leagues in Europe have ever had a team ever roll off three consecutive 90-point seasons. Holy shit, we have to do that. It's going to be really hard. We have to do that. Nobody's ever done it before. It's funny. He said that, and I was like, well, no, Man City did. No. Man City went 100. They went 98. They fell off a cliff this year. They did not get 90 points. He said it, and I was like, well, no, Man City just did. No, they didn't. I want to do that. But this is a team that can absolutely do it. It's just really hard to improve. And Klopp doesn't. Klopp has weekly midfield decisions that he has to make. What I don't think Klopp wants to deal with is having a front player that's constantly making an issue of not playing. When Klopp needs to play a game, he don't have to think about it. And we can play all of the, well, what happens when there's an injury? And man, I feel you. I am not saying Liverpool shouldn't do business. What I'm saying is it's hard for Liverpool to do big business because there's almost not a player in the world. Just to finish up my point, you think about on the back line, Koulibaly is about the only guy I can think of in the world that you could bring into the Liverpool side as a center back and be like, we just upgraded our defense. Who's an upgrade of Joe Gomez? Oh, I mean, are you Sergio Ramos? We're going to bring Ramos in. He's going to take penalties this year and be our number two. Like, I guess. But like, realistically, there's nobody that you're going to go get that's going to do better than Joe Gomez outside of a Koulibaly, whose links to Liverpool never completely go away. And like Thiago, he's interestingly a guy that could actually improve the team. As much as everybody loves to talk about Joe Gomez, Koulibaly's better than he is. And in a world where Liverpool were to sign a Koulibaly, you could legitimately see Liverpool move to a three-man back line and completely change up their formation. You could see a Gomez. Yeah. I'm not going to go into the what-ifs if you signed a Koulibaly, but imagine being able to play a three-man line with wingbacks where Robbo and Trent are playing even further up the line, and you've got a situation where your back three would be Gomez, Koulibaly, and Virgil van Dijk. I'll take some of that, please. Just throwing that out there. It's not going to happen. But when we talk about scenarios where the starting 11 can be improved, you know, you're talking about Lewandowski up front. Oh, who won the Ballon d'Or? That's what it takes to crack our front three right now, because every guy in the front three, or at least two out of the front three, are going to be top five, top six guys in the Ballon d'Or. Certainly top 10, they just were. And Bobby Firmino is like his own category of player, right? He's the oil in the machine that keeps all the parts nice and smooth and running without agitation and wear and tear. So when Liverpool looks to buy, it's just hard for me to believe that they feel like they can. It's not about, and to some degree it is. So to some degree it is about this notion of spending money and replacing the money. But I think in this current, if Liverpool weren't as good as they were, they'd be spending money. They have to. But to spend big money right now potentially creates drama that this team hasn't had to deal with in terms of weekly selections. Divock Origi never complains. Shaqiri never complains. Minamino never complains. Never once have we seen an article with any of them where they're like, man, I gotta get out of here. I should be playing and I'm not. The coach isn't picking me for some reason and I'm unhappy and I want out of here. Move me. That distraction does not exist. It hasn't existed since Coutinho wanted to go to Barcelona. They've been able, the last year and a half, last two and a half years, I guess, they've just been able to cruise without drama on the roster. And I think Klopp puts a lot of value in that. And I think even Klopp would say, look, man, if we bring in Jadon Sancho, I'm going to make my guys unhappy. What am I going to do salary-wise? That kid's about to make $300,000 a week. Nobody on the current roster at Liverpool makes that much money. Like, this stuff's complicated. And I think that the thing we have to ask ourselves for the next month, as silly season really picks up, we have to ask ourselves, does that really make sense? Does it make sense that the person that we're being linked with is being linked with our club? How much drama for your baby's mama are we getting ourselves into by potentially linking up with this player. And it's why so many of the rumors that you see Liverpool lined up with, you just can dismiss them. They don't make sense. Liverpool linked with this guy with a $50 million buyout to come play a left back. That shit ain't happening. It's not happening. They're not going to spend big money on someone who's not a first 11 player and only can be a first 11 player if there's an injury. Let's get somebody to come in and be cover for Robbo and compete with him. What do you mean by compete? Because my American bastard brain can't process it. It's the idea of the Golden State Warriors having Klay Thompson in their lineup and going, you know, we really should bring somebody in to compete with Klay Thompson. Like, improve your team? Okay. What are you saying when you say you want to bring someone in to compete with someone who's a top five player in the world at their position? Well, we need to bring somebody in to compete with Mohamed Salah. No, you don't. What are you talking about? You need to come. You need to buy smartly. You need to find somebody who the most talented person you can, who preferably is as young as possible, to come in to be happy. Look, I worry about Harvey Elliott. He's 16 years old. And I'm like, I wonder how happy he'll be just sitting on the bench, not playing. He needs to play. And I realize that they can keep him until he's about 18. He's a little bit of a unique situation. And we may see Harvey Elliott, before it's all said and done, go on loans, even if it's not even this season. We may see that eventually. But everybody wants to play. I look at Ismaël Sarr, and I'm like, okay, that guy looks perfect on paper. But if he's going to cost $40 million, sirens start going off. Liverpool going to pay $40 million for a backup? It's borderline. It's borderline. You could make a case because of how much that dude cost a year ago that $40 million isn't bad business. And you could make a case. You could tell him you're going to play a lot and maybe he would be happy. You're playing with Sadio Mane. You're going to play for Jurgen Klopp. Like, maybe you could sell that. But he's not playing every game. And he cost a ton of money. And it seems like the price tag for Ismaël Sarr goes up every week. First, it was like, maybe you can get him for like $20 million. They pay $25. Maybe you can get it for $25. Maybe you have to pay $30. This week, it's $40. This week, it's like Crystal Palace may sell Wilfried Zaha. And if they do, they're going to want to spend $40 million on Sarr to replace him. And at that point, you're like, okay, well, we may be interested, but we're not that interested. And it's why when I hear the name Issa Mandi, I'm going to have to I will perfect the pronunciation of this defender who's being linked with Liverpool right now. I think Issa is correct. I hope it's Mandi. So Issa Mandi, Real Betis, you know, there's nothing sexy about it. He's 28, soon to be 29. He's an Algerian international who's been a starter for Real Betis consistently for like the last 4 years. He's had some links to Tottenham over the past few years, but Batiste didn't want to sell him. But then he didn't sign a long-term contract, which means he was a little bit on the back burner this year for Batiste. So that's one of the reasons why he's available and potentially at a cut rate deal. He can play left back. He can play right back. He can play center back. He may not be he's a little bit of a jack of all trades and a master of none. The way he's been described is he can make a pass, defending, solid. But on a Liverpool team that still has Joel Matip and Joe Gomez and Virgil van Dijk, excuse my language for a second, but what the fuck do you think you're going to get for your fourth center back? Oh, you know what we need to do? We need to go sign some 22. No, I mean, yeah. Yes. Yes. Wouldn't we all just like to continue to date beautiful, the most beautiful young woman, no matter what's going on in our lives, we're just younger and hotter all the time. Like, that's not the way the real world works. I'm 44. I'm not in the best shape of my life anymore. I don't know that even if I was single, and I'm not, and I got six-year-old twins, like, I got all kinds of weird responsibilities. Like, my days of chasing young women are over. I mean, it's nice to say, But this Liverpool team's kind of in the same way. It's married with kids. And so you can't just go out and be like, you know, ideally we want to sign someone 22 to 25. He's going to be our fourth choice. He's not going to play a lot this year. He's got to understand it. Maybe in 3 years he becomes a starter. He improves our depth. We're going to spend a boatload of money for him, and then he's not ever going to play. That's how it's got to work. It doesn't work that way. So Liverpool fans are losing their minds about FSG out, and we got to spend money. But I do understand where they're coming from a practicality standpoint. For the website that I own, orangebloods.com, my day job, my football reporter is Anwar Richardson. He is the best college football reporter in the industry. He owns this market. He's a former NFL Hall of Fame voter that was working for Yahoo. And when I had some turnover at the football position, I was like, who's the best guy I can get? And I went and got Anwar Richardson. Okay, well, he's been on my Orange Bloods roster for like 5 years now. Let's add a football position. Am I going to go out and hire someone who costs more money and would want some of his responsibilities just to go out and make a big splash? Hey, we signed Peter King. Peter King left NBC Sports. He's working for orangebloods.com now. He and Anwar are going to work together. I mean, Anwar might be cool with that, and he might like to have somebody who would help take some load off of his shoulders. But does he want me to bring in somebody with a bigger name who will want to take his responsibilities? Who'll take, you know, that's his beat. He giving up some of his beat? No, that's not how it works in any industry. In any industry, if you had a kitchen and you had a chef, you don't bring in a chef that costs more money or as much money as your best chef. You're like, got to bring in a chef to compete with the other chefs, our main chef. Ah, you keep your main chef happy. And Liverpool's got to keep its chefs happy if they want to keep them happy in the kitchen. So as we move forward, I'm all about transfer season. I'm all about the names. I'm all about the rumors. I want Liverpool to spend big. I want them to go get Thiago. I want them to go get Ismael Sarr. I'd love for them to go out and get Jadon Sancho. I would like for them to spend $30 million on Andy Ravo's cover. But like, we also have to ask ourselves, does that make any sense? And ask that question through the prism of, you're not Manchester City. You're not Barcelona. You're not Real Madrid. That's not what Jurgen Klopp wants. He does not want to have 30 players on his roster. He does not want to have to think about what it means to have Gareth Bale sometimes playing and sometimes not playing. Hell, I heard Rob Gutman say this the other day. I'd love for us to go out and get Gareth Bale. Shit, yeah. Gareth Bale's a world-class level player at his best. He makes you better. But in saying to do that, he makes more money than the entire Liverpool team combined. He will want to play regularly if he's not playing golf in Spain on a weekly basis. Suddenly, I might as well play every week. Again, who are you taking? Are you taking Sadio Mane off the pitch to get Gareth Bale in the lineup? No. So even a name like Gareth Bale, as sexy as it is, comes with complications that in the real world have to be addressed. They have to be considered. And when we're putting fantasy football lineups together, when we're thinking about how do we get the optimal amount of talent on our team, thinking about conflict of personalities and weird little conflicts of interests don't often enter our brain. It does Jurgen Klopp's. It does FSG's. It does in every player on our team that hears about the rumors and wonders, what's that got to do with me? I guess I don't need to be here if they're going out and going to spend this much money on this guy. Whoa, wait a minute. They're bringing in Sancho, and they're paying him $280,000 a week, and I'm making $200,000 a week, and I just won us a Champions League title and a Premier League title, Yeah, you'll forgive me if I go knock on some Michael Edwards door or somebody, whoever's door I need to knock on and say, pay me more than you're paying the kid. They don't have to worry about that at Manchester United. They don't have to protect anything. They have nobody's feelings. They have to worry about hurting. You can say until you're blue in the face, we shouldn't be worrying about hurting feelings either. But when you're the Premier League champions, historically, I might add, and you are the reigning Champions League, historically, I might add as well, little things like feelings have to matter. They have to, and they do. All right, I'm wrapping it up. Man, I went on a little bit of a tangent, and it all ended up being transfer related in some weird way for the most part. I'll do another Red Bastard podcast either by the end of the week or early next week, maybe going into this weekend or a Monday podcast. Thank you for listening, though, and give me a follow on Twitter at Red Bastard Podcast. Do that. We're like, you know, we got like 15 followers. Like, I just got the Twitter page going, trying to develop that. Give us a follow on social media. We're trying to grow the podcast. But more than anything, we hope that the listeners that we do have enjoy the podcast. I hope something connects on some level that made you go, oh, that was a smart thought, and rewarded your time for listening to this. I hope I got something out of it. If nothing else, it was a good therapy session for me coming out of the last 10, 14 days or so. You guys be good to each other. Have a great week. Later.